who do men say that I am? His disciples answered, some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist. We don't know. And Jesus said, okay. Who do you say that I am? And I love Peter. He raises his hand. Yes, Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, whoa, Peter, that's amazing. Oh, thanks.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Do you remember the time Jesus asked that question, who do you say that I am? The world has a lot of ideas who Jesus is or was, but today Pastor Wayne will show us we need to answer that question by what God's Word says, not what man says. In a moment, a message entitled, Who is This Jesus? But first, we invite you to join us for a few minutes of worship from New Hope.
Nothing less than you deserve, all for you.
Here now is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Who is this Jesus?
Would you take your notes out and turn with me in your notes too as we continue in our series to this message that's entitled, Who is this Jesus? We want to make sure that our definition of Christ is the right one, because there's a scientific theorem that says if your basic premise is off, then every subsequent conclusion you come to thereafter will be off. So if we've got a skewed definition of who Jesus is, because boy, there are some skewed ones out there, we have made him to mean anything we want him to mean, then our whole life will follow suit. So we've got to make sure our definition is correct of who Jesus is. I'm thinking about this one story. There's these two guys, speaking about how we misconstrue the definition of God, these two guys in this mental institution. And one guy has his hair in a kind of like a mohawk, and he's got a malo on, and he's walking around with a cane, and he's saying, My name is Kamehameha. I rule the islands. And this Portuguese guy's in there. He's going to say, Hey, you kook, you're not Kamehameha. Yes, I am. My name is King Kamehameha, and I rule the islands. And the Portuguese guy says, No, man, you are crazy. He said, I am Kamehameha. And he says, Who told you that you King Kamehameha? He said, God told me I'm King Kamehameha. And the Portuguese guy stops for a second. He says, I told you no such thing. Sure, wait, some of you will get it in a little while. So we want to talk about who is this Jesus? Because there's so many misconceptions of who God is. From the beginning of time, great artists have tried to conceive who God is. In fact, we just came back from the Sistine Chapel, and these are some excerpts from that brilliant painting, God being portrayed as a flaming grandfather creating mankind. But then you have other people saying, no, God is the reason why there's so many wars, and they then take parts of that picture to say, no, God is a God of wars. Religions has caused all the wars in the world today. You have others that define God as Allah, and because of that, they say he's giving us permission to avenge ourselves so that we can take the credence from God to terrorize and to kill if you don't like us. And if you don't like us, we have permission from God to kill you. In fact, take a look at this other picture and see how inconsistent and contradictory it is. Behead those who say Islam is violence. I mean, think about that.
Oh my goodness.
You get it? Yeah. It's amazing. But yet we use God in a way that gives us permission to do whatever we want to. This next one here says God is a condemner. And if I can condemn everybody that I can, then it makes me look a little better. Now I am holier than you are. In fact, that picture was taken right out there. This was from a group called Westboro Baptist, and they're not Baptists, but they came all the way here to Hawaii to picket New Hope. To say, God hates Hawaii. God is a God of vengeance. And if I can say that you guys are all wrong in this church, it makes me right. And I just use God for my own purposes because I'm insecure and I need to feel better about myself. And I'll go to any means to redefine God for myself. Some people define God as the fall guy. So if anything goes wrong, it's your fault. I get into a car accident, it's your fault. I have a financial setback, it's your fault. He's like the fall guy for everything that goes wrong. Regardless of what goes wrong, I define him as a fall guy. Or some people call God the lenient permission giver. He just loves everybody. I love you. I love you. You do something wrong, I love you anyway. So basically, we're just defining God as someone who lets me do whatever I want to. That's my definition of God, as is portrayed in this cartoon. This guy is at a firing squad, and the leader says, Since your offense was only a misdemeanor, our firing squad will pummel you with water balloons. It's sort of like you do something wrong, God's just going to tap your hand and say, now, let's not do that anymore. Okay, keep it going. And that's the kind of God we want to define because it gives us no accountability. You see, if your basic premise is wrong, then every subsequent conclusion you come to thereafter is wrong. And you have to be careful. Some people say, well, I don't want God to be a justice-giving God. I don't want him to be a judge. I want him to be lenient. He says, no, God is just. No. God is loving and kind and lenient. He's merciful, not lenient, but he is just. Oh, no, that's too rigid. No, I say to them, how would you like a judge to be lenient when your car just got beaten by somebody's sledgehammer and bats, and then they're taken to court, and the judge says, they didn't really mean it. Boys will be boys. You guys, go ahead. Sorry, eh? He said, what kind of judge is that? But yet we would say, that's abhorrent. Yet we say, well, that's the kind of God we want to serve. No. Or we say God's sole purpose and God's sole assignment is to help me to be blessed. Just bless me more, God, bless me more. And that becomes the American God. Well, it's so refreshing to be able to take some time and to say, no, Jesus is the hope of the world. I took this last week over in the Roman Colosseum in Rome, where probably thousands of lives were destroyed under Nero's reign. But in the middle of the Colosseum, we saw a cross. So I took that silhouetted up against the sky to remind me that regardless of the circumstance, Jesus is still Lord. How many of you are glad that we have a Jesus that's pure and simple, the hope of the world? So we have to watch out how we define God. Some time ago, hosted by Peter Jennings, was aired a program called The Search for Jesus. And it was a horrible thing. Because you see, in the search to define who Jesus is, he interviewed people who used God as a fall guy. Another one felt God was this lenient person so they could do whatever they wanted to. There's no borders, no guardrails, nothing. It's just whatever. And then another one over here was legalistic. And then he tried to blend together now the definition of God from all of these people. And I thought, no, you're searching in the wrong places. Now you've got this misconstrued mutation of a God that's going to confuse people even more. So important that we know God. I remember sometime later, Bryant Gumbel interviewed Larry King. And he asked Larry King, Larry, if you could ask God one question, what would it be? And Larry King said, if I could ask God one question, you know what I'd ask him? What? Said Bryant. Larry King said, I'd ask God, did you really have a son? And I thought, Larry, I'll answer that for you. But let me tell you, that's not the question. Because what's most important isn't your question to God. It's going to be God's question to you. And you know what it'll be? On that day, God is going to ask every single one of us, what did you do with my son? Not whether I had one. What did you do with my son? You see, there's more historical proof that Jesus walked this earth than there is of Aristotle, Socrates, Plato combined. And if you take a look at the footsteps of Paul, where Paul went, it's geographically provable. And then if you go to Israel, whether it's Nazareth or Capernaum, or whether it's Samaria or Jerusalem, whether it's Bethlehem, every place where Jesus was is geographically provable. Did he walk this earth? Even non-Christian historians, such as a man named Eusebius, writes about Jesus, and he wasn't a believer at all. And when Paul writes these letters, we call them epistles, they were called cyclical letters. Not because they're sick, it's because they cycle around the churches. So the cyclical letter would write about the miracles of Christ, and then he'd send it to churches. Now, if it were a hoax, they would summarily dismiss it. As soon as it would come, they go, this is crazy. It's a hoax. But they didn't. They accepted all of those epistles as it went around. Why? Because the people knew that this wasn't a hoax. It was indeed what? True. You see, if it were a hoax, you'd find out right away. If I said, I just saw the Pirates of the Caribbean on top of the Capitol. They were talking with Martians. I talked to them this morning. All you got to do is go over there and check and say, that guy is a kook. But when these letters went out, people could check on it, and it was true. So we see here that God's Son is historically verifiable. John Blanchard said, of all time, probably 60 billion people have walked the earth somewhere throughout the ages. And of those 60 billion, only a handful of people have radically changed the way man has lived. And in that handful, one stands out. That every recorded word this one said has been analyzed, scrutinized, and debated more than any historian. There's been more attention, more criticism, more devotion, more opposition given to one man above all else. He never really wrote a book per se, but libraries are filled with multiplied millions of volumes of his life. He really wrote no music per se, but he's inspired the world's greatest music and literature and art. He had no formal education per se, but today there exists thousands of universities, seminaries, colleges, and schools that are built on his name, the name of Jesus Christ. And in my personal opinion, no one can call themselves educated who does not understand the person of Jesus Christ. Millions have given their lives for him. And you think about it, his ministry lasted only about 3.5 years. Pretty amazing. The life of one man, solitary life. But Jesus knew that many people would misdefine him. So he even asked his disciples, because it wasn't just non-Christians, it was disciples. That's why it's so important for us as God's people to know who Jesus is. He even asked his disciples, let's read it up here on the screen. Would you read it with me? Go. Who do men say that I am? His disciples answered, some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist. We don't know. And Jesus said, okay. Not everybody else I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask you, who do you say that I am? And I love Peter. He raises his hand. Yes, Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, whoa, Peter, that is good. See, you are the Christ, which means you're the promised one. You're the anointed one. You're the Messiah that was promised from the Ancient of Days that you have come. And all of God dwells in you. And you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Lord, God himself abides in you. And he said, Peter, that's amazing. Oh, thanks. You know, Peter was the voice of the disciples. I mean, he was just always talking. He was half Portuguese. And he wasn't just Semitic. He was Portuguese. And he would, we call him ambidextrous because he could stick either foot in his mouth. He just always talking before he thought. You know, I think, this is just my demented brain. I think if Peter lived today and he was as young as I am, he would be a rapper. I think Peter would be a rapper. Because he could just go for it. And so I looked long and hard to prove this, and I found out that I think he is a rapper. Because I had this thing here that I saw put together that I think it's Peter, and he's rapping something. So you got to check this out. He is talking to us about making sure you got a right definition of Jesus. And let's take a look at what this says here.
He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, thou art the Christ, thou art the Christ, thou art the Son of the living God, thou art the Christ.
You gotta be the most misunderstood, most misquoted. Fox News commentated, right wing voted. Blonde hair, blue eyed, misillustrated. In every artistic depiction that's been created. Misrepresented by many who claim his name. Rejected by religious folk for going against the grain. One call him prophet, other call him a savior. But some call him savior just to profit off the paper. Some say political, the holy man. Some say he was God, others only man. One say he perfect, others say he a sinner. They claim he sat down with kind men to eat dinner. Now what kind of spiritual leader would do that? I guess the type to meet people right where they at, man. It all depends on what you calling a fan. Was Christ just a good teacher? Was the God of a man?
Huh? You like that? That's Peter. That's my friend. Yeah, you're probably thinking, you are a kook. You are a kook. But the reason why it's so important that we know who this Jesus is because he reveals the Father. Let's read this. He continues to talk with his disciples. Would you read this with me? Go. Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me? Here it is. He who has seen me has seen the... Yeah, you see, here's what Jesus is saying. I will reveal the Father. Why? Because I and the Father are one. The Bible says, and it's in your notes, for in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So if you see and realize and you begin to understand and recognize who Jesus is, you'll know the Father. Because you see, he is the image of the invisible God. He is the visible image. Some people say, well, I don't like God because I saw him in the Old Testament and he started wars. No. Look at Jesus and it'll give you context by which you define the Father. Outside of Christ, you just don't want to do it. In him, the fullness of God dwells in bodily form. And if you get Jesus, you understand him, you understand the Father. If you remove Christ and you just try to define God, you go crazy. You misunderstand him. Because Jesus reveals the Father. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And in him, the fullness of God dwells in bodily form. So you have to understand that. You say, how do you do that? Do you remember when Jesus was in the temple? And remember when his parents left Jerusalem? Do you remember how old Jesus was? How old was he? 12 years old. And he was among these elders, long beards, these Pharisees, these high priests, you know. And here's this young kid, 12 years old. And the Bible said he was baffling them with his answers. I could just see them off to the side, long robes. Who's that punk kid? Hey, punk kid. And then they get enough courage. Hey, how old are you? Excuse me? Oh, how old are you? And Jesus baffles them with his answer. Jesus stands up and says, well, on my mother's side, I'm 12 years old. On my father's side, I am older than my mother, and I'm the same age as my father. You see, on my mother's side, I get hungry. But on my father's side, I am the bread of life. On my mother's side, I get thirsty. But on my father's side, I'm the water of life. You see, on my mother's side, I'm homeless. I have no place to lay my head and rest. I don't have much. But on my father's side, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. On my mother's side, I will weep over a friend named Lazarus. But on my father's side, I am the resurrection and the life. On my mother's side, I will be stripped and I will be crucified. But on my father's side, I command a legion of angels. On my mother's side, my blood will drip down the cross. But on my father's side, that same blood will redeem mankind from their sins and yours, sir. How many of you are glad for Jesus Christ?
You have just heard part one of a message entitled, Who is This Jesus? By Dr. Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Now for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.